Blog Talk Radio.
Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the
identification, and it's not wanting to respond. Well, welcome to the show, everybody. I'm going to have to refresh my studio. Welcome to Terrify Radio. I'm your host, Kevin. Alongside me is Miss Jody Park. How are you doing, Jody?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Good. Pretty good. Had a pretty long weekend. Had an investigation Saturday. So
yeah, how'd that go?
It was pretty crazy. Pretty crazy. Had a lot of things go on. I've never heard the ovulus actually ever cuss until we used it Saturday night. And I got this on video and on my EVP recorder. As soon as I get, you know, comb through all that stuff, I'll upload it to the show so I can play it for you. But
yeah,
we were we were trying to do a little provocation, you know. We do it in more of a smart-ass, very calm type way. We don't scream at them or any of that, but we get real sarcastic when we're trying to do something. And this spirit that we were trying to mess with, the only reason we did it is because it was ducking and dodging us all night, and this spirit had brutally raped a woman in the hotel. And, you know, those kind of assholes, they don't deserve any kind of respect.
Exactly.
And so we were calling it a coward and a low-life piece of crap, and, you know, a few explicits. And through the ovulus, it said, "Fuck you, sir."
Huh.
Now,
wow.
You know as well as I do that device does not have those kind of explicits built into the system. So,
right.
Yeah, I got that. We were having the elevators were going in operation by themselves as if somebody had pushed the button, which no one did. Sean and them got cussed out through the ghost box in the basement.
Oh, really?
We found out a lot of information. And what's really cool, what really excites me about it is we found a lot of information through our investigation. We even did a ghost box. We even did a gun spell experiment. Did the gun spell.
How'd that go?
Really well. That's where we got a lot of information. Found out through the spirits. What's really cool is found out Saturday night that there is a diary from a worker that worked in the hotel and documented day-to-day things that went on there, and that diary is someone has it in Marshall. And then Sunday when I had Martha Decker on the show, which is a good friend of mine from this area, she goes, "Oh, really?" She goes, "Hit me up after we get off the air. I have some information about where that diary is." So a spirit told us that through the Gonsfeld, and then so happened, my guest the next night knows where it's at.
Interesting.
Yeah, very interesting. So, yeah, we found out a lot of information, found out a lot about the spirits that are there. The woman that was raped, she's there. Of course, the Mr. Not-So-Nice shithead is there. And then there's a smart aleck spirit. Oh, man. I'll have to clip that Gonsfeld out and let you watch it, because it is funny what the spirit said. It was going around the room and actually picking on people.
Really?
And you got to remember, Mike doesn't, he's taped up with ping pong balls, half ping pong balls on each eye and under a light. So he has no awareness of where everybody's at, right? And so he's just relaying messages from the spirits. And, yeah, it was really cool. Several people did that experiment or did the Gonsfeld. And then we did an experiment with quartz. Got a little bit of activity. We're not going to know for sure how well the experiments went until we go through our evidence, but we tested quartz. We did a control. We investigated for 15 minutes just with the equipment laying on the ground. Then we brought in some quartz and made a square or a circle around the equipment, did another 15-minute session, and then we had some other quartz that we had set on top of an EM pump to actually charge them because they do hold energy. And then we brought the charged quartz into the room. And when we got cussed out on the ovulus, we were actually doing we were actually doing the candle experiment. We had a candle that we introduced into the investigation next to the equipment to see if the fire, the flame, could get manipulated by the spirits. And that's when we got cussed out. So instead of messing with the fire, it decided to cuss us out through the ovulus.
Wow.
And then we did the flashcard experiment. I wrote some questions down, put it in a sealed envelope. I gave it to a few members of the team that were not here, you know. I'm the only one that knows what was written down on those cards, and we had them hold them up without looking at the front of them. They had to hold the cards up pointing at the camera where the camera could see the question, but they couldn't. And they said nothing, and so we're going to go back and see if we got any responses. So we had a really, it was a long night. We got there at about 4, and we left about 4.
Wow.
But,
yeah,
that's
it's a
really
long
cool
investigation.
That, yeah. Huh?
That's a long investigation.
Yeah, we had Eric and Kim Ringzinger from the Paranormal Encounters Network. I found out a week ago that they actually live here in Longview, that they had moved from Tennessee to here. So they tagged along with us. And then we had Aaron and his wife Tina from Louisiana Spirits come into town and investigate with us as well. So we had some guests. My new team member was there, had a great time. Speaking of, you know how we have the EVP of Mike's fart, right?
Oh, shit, yeah.
I got another clip I'm going to have to put on. We all ate buffet before we went, and we all, including myself, had a lot of gas. And it was going off all night. And the ovulus for a while was not saying anything. For about 15 minutes, it said nothing. And then Mike, with one of his loud trumpet farts, he farts, and not a second after he farts, the ovulus goes dirty.
His ass was dirty.
And then another investigator farted about 5 minutes later. Another investigator farted, and right after it, the ovulus said pig.
Huh. Well, now you got to play that clip so that we can hear the fart you speak of.
Yes. Well, the ovulus thought it was dirty. So, yeah, I mean, it's really cool. The owner, I mean, this is the kind of relationship we got with folks in the city of Marshall. The owner comes, unlocks the door, chats with us for about 30 minutes, and then leaves. And we don't see him anymore, and we had free reign of the place. No one else was there except us. And we locked it up when we were done and left.
Wow.
So, yeah, I mean, it was great. But as far as our results, I'm hoping with all the different activities that we had going on and personal experiences, Joseph got pinched in the ass. One of the spirits asked one of my investigators, first during Gonsfeld, because Mike, you heard Mike go, no, I'm not going to say that. And then a little bit later, he goes, okay, fine, I'll tell her. And he calls out her name, and he says, you know what? You're a dirty girl, very dirty, and I'm dirty too. And this is what the spirit's saying to Mike. All Mike's doing is repeating what he's got in his ear. And,
wow.
Then a little bit later, he said the spirit told him to tell this person or ask this person. He said, I got one more question for you, and I'll leave you alone. Do you taste like chocolate milk?
Do you taste chocolate milk?
No, do you taste like chocolate milk?
Oh, snap. Wow.
That's weird.
Well, because she's Hispanic, right? So she's brown. And he asked her if she tasted like chocolate milk. Very dirty spirit. But he says he likes redheads. That's his preference, is redheads.
Everybody's got a thing they like, right?
Right? So.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But that's pretty much our weekend. In fact, I'm so lazy, all my equipment is still sitting in my living room from me unloading it into the house Saturday, Sunday morning, I guess you could say. It's still sitting here.
Well, it happens, you know.
How was your weekend?
Really relaxing. You know, I stayed home all weekend. I didn't do anything, so just was with my kids. That's about it. I have an investigation next week with my event at Mineral Springs on the 23rd. So I will be hunting in my favorite place and sharing that with other people. So I'm pretty excited about that.
Good deal.
Mhm. So how about the crazy shooter in Los Angeles?
Yeah, I've been watching that tonight. I turned the TV off once we went on air, obviously. That's crazy. And the fact that I'll be nice.
He's dead. Do you know he's dead?
No, I'm not talking about him. So did he burn up in that house?
The fugitive ex-cop reportedly dead after standoff with cops.
Huh.
It looks like something's on fire in the picture.
Yeah.
He stole a vehicle, tied up two women in Big Bear. And, okay. It says that a single gunshot was heard from inside the cabin just before the fire broke out.
Wow, self-inflicted. I bet he shot himself.
Yeah.
Well, what
crazy
I was going to
say. I mean, people are freaking crazy. And you know what? I had somebody text me and tell me that somebody on Facebook is, like, rooting for this dude and saying, like, that they understand why he's done what he's done to these people. And
wow.
They're like, run, dude, run, you know, and I don't know, it's just really sick and disturbing, like, to think that people are rooting for, you know, somebody going around killing people because he got fired from his job.
Right.
I mean, it's like, what is the world coming to, you know? I mean, get a new job, dude. You know?
Yeah.
And, you know, unemployment is there for people to help them out until they can find a job. You know what I mean? It's like, you don't need to go and, like, kill people.
Right. So, besides that craziness, another crazy person is on the air right now on just about every channel is Obama. I'm not a very good fan of the man because people are going to find out his true colors because I am, because I tried to do my income tax. And last year, part of the year I was unemployed. I got a job. And when I put my W-2 in, I was going to get about $600. And then when I got to the point where I had to put the unemployment benefits that I had received, it went from $600 to a negative $104.
Wow.
So in the year before, it was the same kind of thing. Part of the year I was unemployed, part of the year I had a job. And there was maybe a $1,000 difference in the 2 years, but last year I got $400 back. So
right.
That means that they have changed from last year to this year, and they're taxing the shit out of people that get unemployment benefits and then get a job.
Wow.
So, yeah.
But, you know, I'm not going to lie. There are people taking advantage of that. Like, I know of this guy who was living in California and collecting unemployment from Indiana, you know? And
yeah.
He did this for a really long time, like a year and a half or something crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so I believe there are people who are abusing the system. There was no reason for this guy, you know, like there was nothing medically wrong with him, stopping him from getting any kind of job, whether, you know, it's delivering pizzas or, you know, whatever it may be. But, I mean, it's there for people who are really trying to get a job in their field of expertise and are having a bad time, you know. That's what that's there for those people. But, you know, there's a lot of people abusing it, so, but that sucks, you know. Like, we pay taxes on everything. Every time you buy a soda, you know, a pack of cigarettes, and then we get screwed. I don't know if you guys have, like, personal property taxes on your cars and stuff.
Yeah.
I just had to go and get my tags removed. It was almost $800 in, you know, taxes for my car. And it's like, are you kidding me? My car is paid off.
Mm-hmm.
It's an older model. And, I mean, you know, $800 to get my tags removed? I think that's a little ridiculous. You know what I mean? Like, do I not pay car insurance and gas and, you know, give me a freaking break.
Right.
That made me mad.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's just, it's one thing after another. And it's, don't get me started. But I will say this, one of the representatives from Texas has invited a guest along for tonight's speech, and he should be sitting in there with Congress, and that would be the infamous Ted Nugent is sitting there. So I'm sure he's probably flipping Obama off. But let's, I'm going to play... Let's see here. I got the Pair Unity ad that will be playing until time for the event. This is Pair Unity Fest 2013. It'll be in Wachahatchee, Texas, and Unknown Paranormal is one of the featured teams that'll be there. So let me play this ad. And when we come back, I'm going to go over the bio for our guest, and we're going to give her a call. Let's see if this works. Or am I going to have trouble again? Wow. And nothing is playing. My internet. Huh?
All right. Tell me what you want me to try over here on my end. What are you looking for?
It's the very, the second one from the top.
Okay. The AA Pair Unity ad?
Yep.
Okay.
Join us at the Texas Paranormal Unity Conference, Saturday, March 23rd from 11 to 6. Waxahachie Convention Center, 2000 Civic Center Lane, Waxahachie, Texas. Admission from $25, booths from $75. Charity auction with A&E Storage Wars, Walt Cade. Gallery reading with psychic medium Dakota Lawrence. Para Encounters Network broadcasting live from the event. Workshops and vendors. Supporting the Breast Cancer Research Foundation. Info and tickets at texasparaunityfest.eventbrite.com.
All right.
I'm going to go ahead and guess that you don't have an Apple.
No. It's not that. My internet must be really slow tonight. I don't know why. So I'm going to redo my internet real fast, and I'm going to read our bio so that I can make this phone call through our studio. Tonight's guest is Valentina. Now I got my dog trying to get toys. Give me that. Damn it. You don't get that toy right now. Okay, let's try this again. Valentina Marie Lombard, she's a model and also a paranormal investigator. She was born in Denmark and raised in Switzerland and Alaska. At age 13, she attracted a poltergeist, which made her realize something not of this world was going on. At age 23, she suffered a severe traumatic brain injury, leaving her nearly comatose and dying. The result of this left her with a new psychic gift, being sensitive. Valentina has investigated many top haunted locations, sometimes being called in on private cases in problematic homes. She's setting out to prove there's life after death. Some of it got cut off. Also, she's writing some books on writing a book on her experiences and trying to get developed a new TV series about her experiences. So that is our guest. Let me pop up my internet again here, and then we're going to call her. And she's a very sweet woman. I talked to her on the phone when I booked her. And Jody, you and her have a lot in common with how the paranormal field treats women that are good looking and, you know, want to investigate, and they get called every name in the book. Because when I talked to her, some of the stuff that she told me sounded kind of like what you go through. So,
well, I'm sure that we will have a lot to talk about then.
Yeah. So now I'm refreshing my studio here because I got her number. All right, we're waiting on that. So just bear with me a second here while it comes back up. Oh, Jody, and you'll be proud of me. The bookings keep coming. I got the next 7 weeks booked for us.
Really?
Yes, ma'am. I still got several more. I just got to get a date. We got several psychics coming on, different women in the paranormal. Besides some of the, well, next week we have a gentleman that's going to blow your mind away with his scientific research into the paranormal. Okay, internet. Blog Talk takes forever to load. But, yeah, he's Thomas Fusco is going to be the guest next week on our show. And while I'm looking, I'll look at the lineup here. And then we have Sierra Sky. Then we have Deb Lance. We have Erica Marie Bouchain, and we have Don Short. So we got several people that are going to be coming on this show. Why are you not loading? I'm sure she's probably going, why haven't they called us yet? Because Kevin's internet is being an ass. Let me try something here. Oh, Lord. Come on. Load something. Let's see if I'll move it here. While we're waiting, so you got Mineral Springs coming up next week. Who else is... who else is on the lineup with you? you know?
Two guys from Riverbend, paranormal, and I've been hunting with them for like 6 years. They're really good friends of mine, Matt and Brian. And then this young boy, he's 17. I kind of met him through Twitter on after I did Paranormal Challenge, and he found out I lived in St. Louis, and he lives in Alton. And he is a huge GHC, he's a GHC member. And so he has his own blog, and like he's had his own radio show, and he's just really a huge supporter of the paranormal. And so I've kind of taken him under my wing with my son and, you know, introduced him to Mineral Springs. And so he's going to be a part of that as well. And then my friend Scott, he is with Bi-State Paranormal here in St. Louis, and I've been hunting with him for about 5 years. And then Chris Mason, who filled in on the show a couple weeks ago for you, he did a great job. And he's actually going to be appearing on Finding Bigfoot. So all of those guys will be there with me, and, you know, it's not going to be a big event. It's just a smaller event, and, you know, we are going to have some people that we've taken around there before. They're coming again to hunt with us, so it will be a good time. I'm excited. So you want to hear something funny that happened last night? I don't know, 2:30 in the morning, my daughter woke up, and she comes in my bedroom and climbs in bed with me. Well, I was up just kind of laying in bed watching Finding Bigfoot, and I've never watched the show before, but I was watching it, and she came in, and she started getting into it, and she's like, what is Bigfoot, you know, and so I pulled up on my phone, like on the internet, like pictures of what Bigfoot looks like, and, you know, we were laughing at the pictures, because some of them, he was smiling, and, you know, one was like an older, what an old Bigfoot would look like, and she started getting into watching this show, and she looked at me, and she said, Mom, one day when I get big, I'm going to go hunting Bigfoot, and I'm going to be a little scared. I was like, oh, my God. So she laid there till 4 o'clock in the morning watching it because it, like, had, you know, I guess it was playing a couple of them, a couple episodes after each other. But she laid there, and she just watched it. And then when I picked her up from school today, she was talking to me about it. And now my daughter is like, I think I'm in big trouble with her. I think she's going to probably end up pursuing some of the same things that I do, because she has not only my influence, but my son's, and just, you know, like, she's really curious about my evidence. She wants to see it. And, you know, so I show her my evidence that I get from locations, and she just thinks it's so cool.
That's awesome.
So I think I'm in trouble with that one.
Oh, yeah. All right, yeah. Let's make a phone call here. Here we go.
All right, you do that.
Let's see it dial. Come on, dial.
Please enjoy this Verizon ringback tone while your party is reached.
Hello?
Hey,
hello?
It's Kevin with Terrify Radio.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Great. How are you?
Good. How are you?
How are you feeling?
Oh, there's two people talking.
Yeah.
Oh,
how are you feeling?
I'm still in bed.
Yeah. What do you have?
I suffer from cluster headaches. So I basically can't move my head because it has to do with the nerves on the base of the skull into the back of the head. So I've just been sitting in bed, so it's better for me not to move at all and move my head.
Oh, my gosh. I'm sorry.
It's really not fun, thank you, yeah. But I didn't
want
to.
I've been having headaches for like 2 weeks now. It's been really bad.
Yeah, it's definitely, it's like, all you can think about when it happens, there's nothing else you can, nothing else really matters except try to get rid of it, so.
Yeah.
So you've had a very interesting kind of background. We read some of it that I got off of Haunted Entertainment's website. Just for people that missed that or want to know more, when was the turning point for you? When did you get into the paranormal or start noticing the paranormal?
Well, I started at 14 when I encountered a poltergeist in the wall that was knocking every day for several weeks. I've always had like a fascination with horror movies and the macabre, and it wasn't until I went to a darkness radio event 3 years ago now that was pretty much like the turning point that I realized that I want to do this pretty much full time. I have a gift called a sensitive. So that actually was probably 15 years ago that all that started, and I realized that I was able to foresee death happening like within a day or two. Of course, I couldn't do anything about it or warn people. So as far as the paranormal getting, it's been about 3 years of doing it full time, and then I've had my gift for over 15 years and have actively been using it for sensing death and going into various locations that are haunted and dealing with that.
Now, do you like have premonitions like with dreams or anything like that?
No, I don't have that kind of thing. I will just have messages come, and then like the next day I'll see on the news that the person I had a message about or thought about or just suddenly popped into my head died. Mostly celebrities. It's really weird. I really, you know, it's hard to know what messages are important and which ones are not, so sometimes I don't always pay attention to the messages, and then I wish I did because maybe I could have helped. But sometimes the messages come in, and I'm still learning which ones are just junk and which are not. So sometimes stuff just comes, and I push it aside, and then I watch the news, and I almost drop my plate because then I see that something, you know. I mean, at that point, if people are going to die, I really can't do much to jump in and stop that, but this isn't my final destination or anything. So I have to let whatever happen.
Yeah. So what kind of locations have you been to?
The Stanley. I go to the Queen Mary almost every month, several times a month. I lived in Hawaii for a year, so I was all over Hawaii doing investigations, private cases. I'm trying to get to some of the more known ones like the Asylums and the Waverly in San Diego. So I have kind of like a little bucket list of some, I guess, paranormal locations. You know, I think everyone does.
Yeah, we do.
You know, just ones that, oh, I want to go there. But otherwise, I just
pretend
to... When
did you go to the Stanley?
I was in November.
I was there in I was there like last March or April or May. I was in May.
Oh, okay. Was it for an event or just not an event?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was with Haunted Entertainment with Dan and Laura when they were together.
Okay. Yeah, that was a different one. Then I guess I went to the one in November. It was really cold. Never going to Colorado in the wintertime again. It's horrible. I just don't have the clothes for it. I wear LA clothing and Hawaii clothing. I'm not used to having to find big up a coat.
Oh yeah. Now, what's interesting, when you got your psychic gift, wasn't it after a traumatic event for you?
Yeah, I actually had a brain injury and slammed my head down. I fell from standing position. And a few days later, I pretty much lost all types of senses, heat, hearing, taste, temperature. I lost all my senses for over a year and a half. And at that point, I was probably at my lowest because I didn't really want to live if I was going to continue having, you know, going through life with no feeling at all, no sense of taste. I stopped eating because all the food tasted like cardboard. And it took over a year and a half for them to slowly start coming back. And then when they did, I noticed that they were hypersensitive. Everything was really loud. Little sounds of wires in the walls would wake me up in the middle of the night. Just everything became just this really loud world. Everything affected me. And then about 10 years later or so, maybe a little bit longer, I accidentally got electrocuted at a chiropractic office. And from there, I went home with electricity inside of me. And then when I sat down at the computer, my knee accidentally touched the hard drive. This was these old computers where you had the hard drive on the floor.
Yeah.
And I also, and I felt something shoot out of my back. And I looked on the chair, and there was a burn mark. So I ran into the toilet, and I looked at the mirror, and there was this big charcoal mark in the back of, just on my lower back. And I realized at that point that I had gone home with the electricity inside of me and somehow touching the computer released it. So,
wow.
And it shot out of my back. You know, it's crazy. It's like a freak accident. So I think that part of the reason I seem to attract so many spirits also is because I'm partially charged with energy.
Mm-hmm.
So they tend to use me as the energy, you know, versus my equipment. They tend to draw it from me, so I become the battery instead of, you know, my equipment. So, so between
I'm looking at your profile right now, and I see that you have a company, V-Skincare.
Yeah, that was some, I did. I used to have, in between modeling, I tend to have a lot of businesses. I like to start businesses. And so one of them that I had was a natural skincare business, just mainly because I got tired of looking at the ingredients and I could never read. They were so scientific. I'm like, I don't really know what I'm putting on my face. So I set out to make and create all natural ingredients with just a lot of things from
I
nature.
Think that's great.
You know,
I have my aesthetic license. So,
yes.
You can relate.
Oh,
I can totally relate. Everything I use on my skin is all natural, like, you know, for my masks. And I use, like, baking soda when I start getting, like, acne or, you know.
Yeah, there's so many things you can find in the kitchen that are just
exactly
perfect.
Exactly. I'll just go in my kitchen, and I'm, like, I get my kids doing this stuff, too. It's,
right. I mean,
you know what you're putting on your skin. So you and I just have so much in common. You know, it's so weird.
Very cool.
Yeah.
You wouldn't expect that from miles away. Yeah, so that was the thing I did for a while. And
yeah.
Go ahead.
And you also do painting.
I have an online gallery. Yes. Nice. Yeah, if I have a gallery online, obviously I'm not going to have a gallery, an expensive gallery somewhere on the street. So everything I sell online, and, you know, Facebook's been good. People see my stuff and contact me. I've done commissioned work. So that's my other business. I guess I'm one of those people, I get bored very easily, so I have to entertain myself all the time.
Nothing wrong with that. You're a creative person and you like to express yourself. And because of that, in a field that's not very creative, people like you and I are very, like,
we stick out.
Awful.
Well, yeah. And
that's awful.
I was talking to Kevin about that, and he's like, yeah, people don't really take us seriously. And you find yourself having to prove yourself that much more, you know, because people are immediately judging you by your looks. And then they're like, well, she's not capable of anything, you know. And so I've spent quite a few conventions, you know, hanging out in the corner by myself, because I just really feel like people don't give me a chance.
Yes. I hide in hotel rooms at events. I stay away from people.
I would have hung out with you. We'll have to go on one together, because I spent the whole time at the Stanley in my room. I sat and I drank champagne in the room, and all I got, it was the worst. It was so, because every time I looked, everyone was buddying up, and everyone had little groups, and they were going off, and I was like, I want a group. I would have to have a group. So, it was a good eye-opening kind of thing, because I realize now that that's just how it is, you know.
It's hard. You know, I act out a lot because, I guess, you know, I deal with so much people bashing me, like saying, oh, you're just using your tits and ass to get ahead, and, you know, da-da-da-da. I've heard every bad name about myself in the book. So I kind of tend to push back, and I put out crazy ass videos of me hunting in a very disturbing manner, and it's just like my middle fingers are up when I'm posting.
Oh my god! Oh my god!
I just, you know, I kind of poke back fun at the bullshit that comes my way. That's how I feel. You and I, and people like us, we have every right to have a passion about this subject.
It's
something that we want to pursue. We have every right to be here. And, you know, people shouldn't, like, be crappy to us. But,
we're all doing something, you know, something. It's just like I also scuba dive. And, you know, it's the same thing. Again, I don't look like a typical scuba diver. And so, again, people look at me and they don't take me seriously. And it's just like, look, people have a right to like whatever they want, you know, regardless of what you look like. There's not a certain way that scuba divers look or a certain way that investigators look. I mean, I know there's a stereotypical look, but every now and then someone looks a little different. And rather than embracing that, everyone starts treating you like a freak. And, you know, it just, I'm not going to stop what I do, and I'm sure you're not either, but it just get, you know, it's like, when are we going to get past that?
Yeah. How long is it going to take? I've been in this field for about 6 years, and nobody knew who I was until I did an episode of Paranormal Challenge, and two weeks before my episode air, I had other female groups, like, attacking me online, creating fake accounts, going on all of my videos. Like,
that's ridiculous.
It is. And you know what? Still to this day, a year and a half later, these people are still at me. And it's just like, just last week, I had a fake account from YouTube, came, bashed 6 of my videos. And it's like, you dipshit, you don't think I know who it is? You're the only people doing this. You know what I mean?
Right.
And they, like, they're so dumb that they, like, leave clues by what they say, that it's so easy for me to go, oh, yep, at some, you know. And it's just the cyberbullying on Facebook. I don't know if you have it going on, but
luckily I don't. I mean, I try to really keep, you know, good friends that I trust. And the minute anyone has said anything mean, they're cut immediately. You know, I really curb it down to just kind people, because it just, to me, I take so much of all that energy in. So the minute it's negative, I just can't have it, because I keep my life so pure. You know, I can't handle the drama. I'm too old for drama. I just, like, the minute any start, I've been very lucky that everyone is really kind on Facebook to me. I'm sorry
that
you have to go through that, you know, but I know that there's just mean people out there.
Yeah, there's a lot of mean people in the field. And I feel like, you know, a lot of these people need to go to church.
I didn't really learn until I started talking to some other groups, and they're like, yeah, it's really clicky. And I thought, clicky, you know, why would it want to be clicky? We should all be helping and working together. And then I started seeing it once they pointed it out. I started realizing, oh, my God, it is clicky. Why would people be clicky? That's stupid, you know. But so I'm really learning that I come from a modeling background. So, to see, you know, I deal with enough backstabbing in that business. I really didn't expect, you know, and I'm happy to, like, not deal with it as much. And then I get into a field where I see it even worse than Hollywood.
Yeah.
You know, and that's, like, baffling to me because,
yeah,
and, you know, we're in the same field.
Yeah, what's a shame is you know, like you said, you're learning. And what I've learned about the field is, well, it's basically like life. You basically have to pick and choose who you bring in your inner circle of friends in the field, and you know, you gotta be wary of anybody on the outside, because at any given moment a person can turn on you. Of course, that's just like life. So in a way, I can see why there are some clicks, because it's almost like a protection mechanism,
right? But like a little family, but. Still, I mean, I don't have any clique I belong to, because, and I'm more than open to have people in my group, but until I find people that, you know, I trust and aren't just trying to be mean, or, you know, it seems like they try to use you for information, or, you know, I don't know, it's just really weird. I don't really, that's the one part I don't understand, the psychology behind all that. And so I tend to stay away from all of it and just focus on investigating, because I really don't understand the rest of what's going on with the individual people. But, you know, even at the Stanley and just trying to sit with some of the people, I noticed that it's very, you just can't penetrate it. It's just, they're very protected. Like, I'm good friends with Billy Tolley, and he treats me like a normal person. But anybody else, you know, from those organizations, it's just like they don't want me in the group. You know, Aaron was really nice. Aaron Goodwin was really nice. He came up and talked to me, and he was normal. But I think there's just like a lot of ego.
He's a good guy.
Yeah, I like people that are just normal and put the ego and the crap aside, you know. I feel like, because I have a lot of celebrity friends, and when you're with me, you can put the celebrity crap out the door. You know, you eat and drink just like everyone else. And I just really, if you want to have that for the public, that's fine. But when you're hanging out with me, you need to drop the celebrity act, you know. And
I agree.
I don't put up with that. So, but Aaron and Billy are really cool, and they're really nice. And I'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
Wink,
yeah.
Wink, wink.
That's another point. As I was talking to you the other day, you know, you tried to be a part of a group, and then you just decided, hey, I'm just going to do this stuff on my own.
Yeah, I was with a female group, not mentioning any names, but they were over here, and I thought it's a good opportunity to go as a group with others and, you know, go and explore places. And the unprofessionalism that went on was so ridiculous. They were all sitting around giggling, and there was contamination from upstairs because somebody actually lived in the building and was sitting and watching television. And so I ended up just fumbling around in the dark, getting all my equipment and walking out of the investigation. And as it turned out, I was up in Yosemite, and I actually ended up having a better time and got a lot of communication and evidence at my hotel room. So, you know, live and learn. But I realized that unless it's women that are serious, I don't really care to be around a lot of women because I think they're being silly and goofy. And to me, this is work time. So I'm always looking for people that are serious. But the minute I see any kind of goofiness or lack of concern for outside contamination, then I don't want to be around that. I mean, this is my credibility on the line and my reputation,
right.
You know, because I do have to be taken seriously, so I have to try a little harder than other people, but that's how I get good evidence and good pictures, so.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if you've heard, I have the Paranormal Hot Squad, and,
no.
I have an all-girl group, and...
Oh.
It has been a freaking nightmare. Can I just
oh, no.
Okay.
Here I am talking bad about girl groups.
I'm laughing at what you're saying because it's so us. I mean, you know, I'm down to just two girls now because I've just, you know, been getting rid of girls because
that's good. It's good that you've actually managed to, you know.
Well, you know, I've been trying to find the girls that are serious, but...
I have, but I'm too far away. I'm too far away.
Well, I can travel all over. Like, I'm probably coming to... Oh, my God.
You call me.
I'm coming to Vegas soon, and I got into the Bunny Ranch. So I don't know if that is something you would be interested in driving to Vegas and doing... And I'm actually going to have celebrities with me. I can't talk about them yet.
Right, right.
There's going to be a porn star with me, and a few people in the music industry that are, you know, one of them is very, very well known.
Yeah,
but,
well, send me the info, and I'll see.
Yeah.
You know.
You know, so I think that's going to get a little wild, you know, like it's going to be hard for me to control and contain people who are not real investigators. They're probably
right.
You know, it'll probably be more fun. And I
yeah, exactly.
About broadcasting it live, depending on how their internet works out, because I heard the internet's not so good.
Okay.
But have you ever been there?
No, I haven't even heard of it. I'll have to look it up.
Well, it was featured on HBO for what's his name? Andy, the guy from Taxi, the like robotic guy.
Oh, yeah. All right, Karen. Andy, so, yeah, I know who you mean.
He apparently haunts the place. And I think that a couple of years ago, HBO did an episode on hunting him, and they got some evidence. So it should be interesting to do that investigation with a porn star.
Yeah, that should be interesting.
I always look for, I don't know how this stuff lands in my lap, but I get just crazy opportunities to do crazy stuff because
you're just a crazy girl.
I am. I'm really crazy with my investigating, but I'm coming to the table with good evidence.
Right.
Kevin, do you want to play her the piece of evidence that I got, like the most amazing one that I got, and see what she thinks?
Sure. Let me get to it here.
Or should I?
I got it.
Are you guys in the same place, or
no?
See, Jody lives in St. Louis, Missouri. I'm in Texas. And,
oh, wow.
And her team, they're not all – one of her teammates is in Florida. And where's
Iowa.
Yeah.
So I have girls all –
And Jill's in South Carolina, North Carolina?
Yeah, and then my camera guy's in South Carolina. So we fly or drive into everywhere we
wow.
together. Yeah.
Fun road trip.
Yeah, and my girl Brittany, she is a witch.
Okay. So she takes a broom.
Yeah. No, she does really interesting things. I enjoy hunting with her because she just brings a different style. She's
right.
very well educated, and she's very serious about what she's doing. And for, you know, such a young girl, she's just a joy to have in my life.
Very cool. Are you
going to play that?
Yeah, I'm going to play it. Here we go. Hopefully it plays. Still waiting. Come on, play.
Do the other men here bother you?
We will skin you alive.
Oh!
That was wild.
Yeah. So.
That was very scary.
Yeah, that was through my ghost box, and I had it for like a year, and I never had the thing work, so I didn't even believe in ghost box. I thought they were just punks.
Right.
Punks, you know? And then, like, that happened, and I swear to God, like, ever since that happened, my ghost box is so crazy. And I went into this one location, which you would love it. It's in Iowa. It's this school. It's called Farrar. And the janitor was raping children. And, the janitor and the principal both haunt the school, and they were both really bad men. So my friend, or my girl Megan, who's up in Iowa on my team, she has investigated this place so many times, so she knows it like the back of her hand. And we get there, and she's like, all right, just take my lead on this one. Just trust me. She takes me up to the office, and she puts on the ghost box, and she starts saying, you know, do you want a blowjob? And I was like, what? You know, and she's like, just watch, just watch. And it starts calling her a whore and a slut and just, like, talking nasty, nasty to her. So
wow.
When I did my solo, I went up there, I dressed in this skimpy little schoolgirl outfit, and I got on the principal's desk, and I was like, you want a blowjob? And no joke, in 10 minutes, my ghost box goes, the sports, the blowjob, and I was like floored. I couldn't believe it. And then it just like kept calling me like all these nasty names. But so I kind of like, I don't know about you, like,
you're like provoking.
I am a huge provoker. Yes, I am. I
bad
am.
Girl.
But I like to add like a freak level to it, you know. And so that makes people mad. Like, you know, it made a lot of people mad that I wore the little schoolgirl outfit and my boobs were like falling out.
Kind
of. But
kind of like mocking a little
well,
bit.
It's like creating, you know. Why
right.
Is it okay that Zach Riggins can recreate, you know,
right.
If he's on a battlefield. You know, but
right.
If I put on a little skimpy dress, you know, like when I go to the whorehouse, the bunny ranch,
right.
You know I'm going to be hooking up an outfit that's hard and tight. And if it
right.
offends people, I'm sorry, you know?
Right. No, I mean, I get both sides. I understand people get offended, and I also understand that you're just trying to fit the environment. So, I mean, I'm on both sides. I'm not saying what you do is wrong. I'm not saying,
yeah.
You know, I mean, again, whatever works, you're going to keep doing that regardless of what people say. So, you know.
Yeah.
Well, that,
yeah.
And, you know, there are places out there where it's a little bit older and say the spirits that are haunting there are from a time where women were not basically strong as far as the man did everything right. He took care of the family, and the woman took care of the kids. And so when Jody goes in there and actually is aggressive towards some of these spirits that are in these older places, she tends to get results because these spirits don't know how to react to a woman talking to them like that.
Right.
In their day, that wouldn't happen.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I don't feel that any way that people do things, as far as investigations go, is right or wrong. We're here to get results, so whatever way that has to be, you know, everyone's going to have different approaches. And but the end result should be that we get some good, solid evidence. Whether
mm-hmm.
you had to be in a turtleneck or, you know, naked with whipped cream all over you.
Nice.
I think. Don't get any ideas. No. But, I mean, you know, it's just like whatever works for you.
Yeah. And,
I would
know,
be the quiet one on your team.
But, you know, it's just like you said, in the paranormal field, there's no rule book. And
right.
there's no particular way. And we're all learning every day about what goes on in the spirit world. And, you know, when people think it's, oh, the normal, what you see on TV, walking around with your K2 meters or whatever piece of equipment and saying, what's your name? And
it's not like that.
You know, it's not like that. And everybody has their own style. You have yours. I have mine. Jody has hers. And people should just accept us for who we are, what we do. And if we get results and we're trying to figure out what's going on in the spirit world, then that's it. That's all it should be.
Well, and that might be the reason people don't get along so well, is because everyone has their opinion about how it should be done, which
yeah.
everyone is wrong and everyone is right, you know, because that and maybe the best thing is to find people that who like to practice the way that you do. And that might be harder than it seems because everyone has a different way to do it. So maybe
yeah.
I just haven't found, you know, the people that like to run things my way. Because I tend to, I'll give everyone a chance. But again, I don't believe some of their practices or the way they do it, or jump to the conclusion that every little thing, every little K2 spike is something happening when, in fact, their back phone was on, you know, in their back pocket. So,
yeah.
You know, it then turns out being something really stupid. I'm not one to jump. I'm partially skeptic half the time, and I try to find scientific reasons to things rather than to just assume every little, you know, sound or movement or footstep was a ghost. And
yeah.
some people are just like that. They want evidence so badly that they're looking for every little thing. And I just can't, I have to dismiss a lot of things because I just don't feel everything is paranormal.
Exactly.
Have you ever been, or did you ever go to Linda Vista Hospital?
I was there 3 weeks ago.
Are you serious? So you know Rich and Francis?
I don't know who let us in the building. I wasn't really paying attention. It was one of those nights of chaos.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even get his name because the next thing I knew, we were just going in, and I was just that investigation was so chaotic. There was about 50 investigators, and then when
wow.
I had driven over there and paid, they're like, okay, they're only letting a few of us in. And I'm like, well, I better be one of the people because I paid weeks ago and da-da-da. And so all the other, but they let about 15 people in and the rest were all sent home, very angry. But I was one of the people. So I don't know what the names of the people were, but I wandered around in a lot of rooms by myself and I honestly didn't feel anything anywhere at
oh
all.
Oh, my God. I rented out the place a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
My group. So we had the whole place to ourselves. And I got the craziest stuff there. We had so much happen. So, you know, like when you park, you go in the building and you go down the steps to
yeah.
the bottom floor. And do you know where the surgical rooms are?
I was over by the morgue kind of area.
You come down the steps and you go down that long hall And then you take a right down another really long hall. And, like, at the end of it, you're, like, dead, like, to the freezer where they put the bodies.
Yeah.
That area over there was, like, the surgical area, surgical room. There were, like, three. And we had, like, something touching us, pulling our hair. It pulled one of the girls' belly button rings.
Wow.
And then Linda Vista is the only place that I've ever felt the presence of something so evil. I wouldn't say it was anything demonic. I think it was just like a human spirit that was really evil in life, you know?
Yeah.
But, that is my second all-time favorite location to ever.
Oh, man. You know, I think, well, in that time that you've been there, unfortunately, they've filmed a lot of movies. So there's a lot of fake movie blood. There was props everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really hard for me to differentiate between movie stuff and regular stuff. And then some places, they were filming movies so while we were there. So, you know, suddenly sounds were bleeding through or there was light showing. So overall, I was very discouraged. I didn't even bother getting my recorder out because everyone was talking so loudly. All I did was pretty much just snap pictures, but I didn't personally sense that anything was there. Maybe that night it had been scared away, you know, because there were so many people and so much going on. Because I do feel that spirits tend to get a little bit shy. And I think there was just so many people traipsing through that it just really turned the spirits off from showing up because I did not, nothing happened at all to me, which was so disappointing, you know. But again, that happens.
We got a lot of EVPs there of a woman and a man. And ever since I went there, I've had a Michael following me around.
Oh, cool.
And I've had them analyzed by my friends Stephen and Riley Black, and because everywhere I go, I keep getting Michael talking to me.
You know,
whether it's like just plain as day, and I say, "What is your name?" and it says Michael, or on my ghost box, it'll be Michael. But I actually had them check out all the evidence I have on Michael coming through, and four of them matched up, and they believe that I have a Michael following me. And I think that, the first time I ever got a Michael coming up was at Linda Vista.
Huh.
Uh-huh. But I
very
love that place.
Cool.
I will be back there one day. Next time I'm out in L.A., I will definitely be calling up my buddies there and making them let me in there because that place, I don't know if you heard about the third and fourth floor of the place.
We were up on the fourth floor, but again.
Did they have it blocked off?
No, we went down first, then we went up on the fourth floor because we were told to go there, and then we ended up in the infirmary, and we looked at all the ashes and the teeth and stuff. Then we went back a little deeper down, you know, where the underground was. And again, I was at that point just kind of bored.
Yeah.
I don't know. When there's
third and fourth floor, like if you go up there with just like two people,
better.
There is a shadow person that runs around and like chases people.
Oh. Oh, man. No, that's the problem with going. I'm so bummed, but, you know, again, there's a difference between going in, you know, a group of two or four and, you know, 12 people going through.
Yeah,
it just changes
difference.
The dynamic, you know, and I think that's why I tend to just investigate alone with my cameraman because I can't have all these people talking and, you know, laughing and stomping around and, but, yeah, if I do go from now on, my groups are going to be smaller or everyone is going to go on one side of the building and, you know, just really split up because it just changes everything.
Yeah. So now do you put movies out or anything? Or what do you do?
Movies. My
do
evidence?
You do have movies? You put together movies?
No.
No?
Movies. What kind of movies?
Yeah, you said you have a camera guy, so I was just wondering.
I mean, I'm putting together reels and stuff for my TV show that I'm working on selling. But in the meantime, I like to just have somebody there filming the evidence, so I have two hands free to do other things. So, and then just to have another witness there, of course, but mainly just to film me investigating, so, you know, it's taken from a different angle.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, have you ever had anything follow you home from one of these places?
Me?
Yeah.
Every time. every time. But I've gotten lazy. I think I said a prayer the first time I went out, and then after that, because I live kind of a secluded life, so I tell things they can follow me home, just as long as they behave. But lights will turn on in my house. I've had razors and things turn on in the drawers by themselves. Books have fallen off the shelf. I had a painting fall off the wall. Now, I think it's been 4 weeks ago now, I was laying in bed reading late at night and something slammed into the corner of the bed and shook the whole bed.
Wow.
And that was the first time something was like really kind of physically angry and, you know, with me in the bed. But I feel like something... I don't know if it floats. I'm still trying to figure out if it floats above my bed. But usually when I'm sleeping, something is either here watching me or I sleep with this little stuffed whale just because I like to hold it. And one night I felt the whale being pulled out of my arms. So I'm not scared to go to bed, but I know whenever I sleep, something is going to happen, whether it's, you know, a little bit of pressure on my sheet, like pushing down on the sheet or pulling the sheet away. And then all of a sudden it'll be quiet for days and then something else will come to my house. So I've kind of gotten used to it. I kind of like having ghosts at my house. It's nice company, if that sounds right. But I don't mind. You know, I've been fortunate that they've all been good and within a few days they get bored and they leave. But stuff definitely always comes home with me. And if it doesn't, I'm almost disappointed because I'm so used to it.
Yeah, I've got a few in my house that have followed me, but luckily they're good. So
you don't mind. Yeah, you know, it's just kind of nice. It's, we can live in harmony. they don't eat much.
Yeah. Jody lives in a haunted house.
Do you investigate your own house, Jody?
Yeah. Yeah. I bought this house like 14 years ago. And when I moved in, I have a 17-year-old son now, and he was 2.5 when we moved in. But like by the time he was 3, he started seeing a little girl in the house. And
wow.
He was real scared and all that. But when he hit 11 and he hit puberty, oh, my God. I mean, there was, like,
it was
activity.
Yeah.
Out of control. He was seeing the same shadow man. And it was, like, calling my dog's name. And, like, my dog would look up and my son would look up and be like, you know. And, like, I'd find him, like, screaming for me, hiding under blankets and,
wow.
So it just got so bad for my son. I didn't know what to do. So that's when I started becoming a paranormal investigator with him. And still to this day, he's still seeing and hearing. And I believe that my daughter, my 3-year-old daughter, might be a sensitive as well.
Okay.
I, like you, I had a near-death experience when I was like 12. And I have never been the same. And, you know, it's hard to, like, describe that to people, how something like that can just affect your life. And you know, I have a sister who almost died when she was 17, and she's never been the same either.
Yeah, it does something to you. It gives you like a not only just a new outlook on life, you know, but you realize how close you came, and you're just not ready to go, and it's intense.
Yeah, like when I was having mine, and I was like literally, I don't know if you were like floating out of your body, but it was like all black and white for me, and there was just like a crowded, like almost like a rainbow of people in front of me. But then in the center was like a woman, and she was like telling me, it's not your time, and you need to go back in your body. And I went back in my body, and I came to. But, you know, like ever since then, I know things that I shouldn't know. And I'm really, like, my dreams, I have, like, the most intense dreams, and I'll wake up, and I'll, like, you know, dream about a person. Like, I have to get a message to them from somebody else, and I'll call them up and be like, okay, I just woke up, and I had this dream, and this is the message I got, and they'll go, how the hell did you know? And I'm
like Jody, it's 4 in the morning. Jody, call me back later. It's 4 in the morning. I'm sleeping.
You know what? I end up having them more so when I'm taking a day nap. Like when I'm really exhausted and like I'll go lay down like during the day and then I'll wake up and be like, what the heck, you know, and then I'm just like, I feel like I have to call the person.
Yeah,
you know, names will come to me. And then 4 hours later, I will meet that person and I'll be like, you know, like then I'm really interested in why was I picking up on this name and then I met this person and what is the connection here, you know? And I'm not going to tell them what the hell, you know, like because you feel like a freak.
Right. No, I know. Well, I know how you feel.
Getting into it, I found out that my grandmother was a psychic. And my mother and my grandmother and my aunt all saw spirits while they were growing up. And it actually stopped for them once they hit, like, a certain age. They just stopped seeing and stopped, you know. But then, like, the men in my family kept on their whole lives with seeing spirits and knowing stuff.
Yeah, so it kind of runs in the family then.
Yeah. But it didn't really come out in me, I don't think, until I almost passed, you know? And same with my sister. You know, like, whereas my son, he was just, he was kind of, I think, born that way. My daughter, just last week, we were laying in bed, and I was trying to get her to bed, and I grabbed my phone, and I went on YouTube, and I typed in, like, relaxing music videos.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was like playing the ocean and the waves crashing and the sound. And my daughter was sitting there and she was telling me this story about my grandmother who's passed away and how she got eaten by the shark. And she has quite the imagination. And then all of a sudden she just sat up and she looked at me and she goes, you know, Mama, I remember when you were like 3 years old and you were like really sick. And I go, oh, what was I sick with? And she goes, you had a really bad fever, and Grandma was there for you. And then she just laid that down. And I about freaked out because, absolutely, at 3 years old, I was so sick. I was laying in my grandmother's bed, and my grandma was, like, sitting there reading books to me and, like, taking care of me. And she told me about it. I'm like, oh my gosh. And she has seen spirits in my house as well. I'm in trouble with that one. She wants to go hunt Bigfoot hunting like now. Okay? She watches Finding Bigfoot.
Crazy. Well, yeah, so it sounds like it kind of runs in your family too.
Yeah. It runs in your family as well.
Yeah, I'm originally from Denmark, and my mother when we finally started, you know, talking about the whole paranormal thing, she told me, oh, well, you know, I used to be home, and cause we grew up in this huge, beautiful, I mean, it looks like it would be haunted, too, just because it's this big, gigantic three-story corner house. It was just big. And she said that my grandparents would leave her home alone, and doors would shut and open, and then, furniture would be piled up, you know, like kind of like the poltergeist thing out in the house, and everything was stacked up. The furniture would stack and tables would tip. And wow. So I thought, oh, man, how long did, you know, I wish my mother would have told me had this talk sooner, or, you know, the little ghost talk. And it's like, wow. And then my grandmother used to see things. So I do believe it runs, you know, in like the women in the family, it seems like. So you kind of have that same thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's crazy, though. Like, furniture being stacked and stuff.
Can you imagine? You're like, you know,
not really.
10 years old and in an old house by yourself, and then, like, stuff is just happening, and you're just sitting there, you know? And my mother was just so cute and dainty, and I can't imagine her not freaking out sitting there looking at something like that, you know? Because, I mean, I don't jump or surprise easily, but I could just see my mother just climbing the walls. But, yeah, it's just kind of cool, you know, that maybe you come from a family that all had that, you know, kind of gift. I think my son has it, too, because he seems to have seen things when he was little. He would just stare as a baby, like, in the corner and start laughing. So I think he could see things, too. So I think he has some sort of gift too, so it's really kind of cool.
How old is your son?
He's 18.
Aw.
So almost the same age as yours.
Yeah. Yeah. I love my son so much. He's such a good boy.
Yeah, it's important to have good children. Not children from hell.
I know, I've been blessed. I have been.
Now, what?
Now, is that your only child?
Go ahead, Jenny.
He is, or am I?
Is your son your only child?
Yeah, that was enough. I don't want to put any pressure on myself to get it right a second time. That was enough. And I'm an only child, and my mother's an only child, and my grandmother's an only child. So.
Wow.
I don't know. I know, crazy. I think we just like to just do one. That's enough. That's
and
a lot of work.
You brought the boy. You brought the boy, huh?
Yes. I know. I broke the chain there.
So he probably got really spoiled, didn't he?
No, I actually made him work for a lot of things because I don't really feel that being an only child means you have to be spoiled, you know? I'm actually a fairly strict mother. I come across as sweet, but I'm a tough love mother.
Nothing wrong with that.
Otherwise, they will just walk all over you, let me tell you.
So, yeah. when you investigate, what kind of equipment do you use, or do you just try to use a lot of your senses, your body, what your body feels, or do you use other things?
Sometimes I walk in and I see what I feel first. And then I figure out how I'm going to communicate and what I'm going to pull out, whether it's going to be visual or audio equipment. But I like to just walk around first. And sometimes I'm in places where people like to tell me the history. And I tell them, don't tell me a thing. I don't want to know anything because it's going to start suggesting things to me. You know, I'm going to be looking for those things if I'm told all the answers. So I prefer, you know, I prefer to walk in very raw and just see what I sense on my own. And then from there, I will try to figure out what kind of thing I'll be using. But, I used to like the K2. Now I've kind of gotten tired of it. I don't really pull the Melmeter out much. There isn't really, and I can't really, I have no patience for the spirit box. It's such a pain in the butt. So I don't really...
I used to feel that way.
I mean, you have to train yourself to listen to that damn static. It's so, like, you know. So, I mean, if it spits out more words, then it's not as annoying. But, yeah, so there isn't that much. The Ovilus X is okay sometimes, but it goes crazy, too, and just randomly says stuff sometimes. And, you know, and then it's like, oh, you're making no sense. I'm turning you off.
Well,
but in other...
I was gonna tell you, I got an Ovilus X too, and I was telling Jody this before we called you, and then I had an investigation Saturday, and one of the guys, well, we got a couple people, but my main guy that's really powerful and very powerful sensitive, there was a spirit in the building, this 8-story hotel, that brutally raped a woman. And he was ducking and dodging us all night, right? And because he didn't want us there, and he didn't like that we represented good, and you know. So at one point we were doing a little provoking. We basically were saying that, you know, are you a coward? You know, you were a coward for doing what you did. You know, why don't you come talk to us? And the Ovilus wasn't saying anything. I got this on film. And all of a sudden it just says, fuck you, sir, right out
wow.
of yeah, and you know
that. Oh, the Ovilus. Holy cow, yeah, that's not part of the words.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah, that's kind of creepy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes that thing will be dead on, and it'll just, like, it's crazy. All the stuff coming out will be just dead on, and then other times I get frustrated and I turn it off. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's about having different things to work. It's not, and I've yet to, every time I bring a flashlight to try to get that whole flashlight thing to go on and off, like they do on TV, I have yet to have that happen. So I'm starting to wonder if the flashlight is rigged, because I can never get that thing turned on and off. So I'm not sure if that whole thing is real either.
It's kind of like, you know, just like, you know, the spirits, they have personalities, right? Their personality, we found out, you know, if you were an asshole in life, you're going to be an asshole in death. You know, everybody's got
exactly.
their personality that go with them. And it's kind of like they pick and choose, A, who they're going to talk to, and B, if they have equipment, what piece of equipment they are intrigued by and they use. So,
right.
You know, you gotta. It's like trial by error of trying different pieces of equipment until one of them responds to whatever you're using.
Right. No, it's true. It doesn't. You know, they don't like every piece of equipment, and they may not be familiar with it, or you know, some of it they're just not interested in.
Yeah. Yeah. We tried something like you said earlier about trying to. Look at it from a skeptical. Even Mike, our sensitive, he tries to disprove things too. And we were all investigating, and the elevators started moving on their own. Well, you know, you have to push a button in order to get them to start moving, right? Well,
right.
Then it touched the button and they were moving. And so that's one thing about investigating. You know, sometimes when things happen, then it kind of spurs an idea. So we were like, wait a minute. Okay, so they moved. Well, let's try something. This was a hotel. The elevators would always be going up and down because of the people there. So we called the elevator up to our floor, and we took an EVP recorder and an Ovilus and stuck it in the elevator and then pushed all the buttons to every floor and sent the equipment on an elevator ride to see if we would catch anything inside the elevator.
And did you?
Don't know yet. We still
oh,
got to review
it. It's like an endless job in itself, just reviewing the evidence.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully you got something.
Yeah, that would be really cool. But, you know, that was just a spur of the moment thought of, hey, let's try this and see what happens. So,
well, that is a good idea. Yeah, I mean, you know, sometimes you just get these crazy ideas, you know, on the spot. I mean, you may come in with one type of idea of how something's going to be run, and then you end up running it totally different, because once you get there, you know, the elements and things may have changed, or it's just you might flat out just get some other idea of something to try. I mean, everything is an experiment, you know, set up to try to provoke and make some sort of something happen. And I think that, you know, you may come with some things and then throw all that out and try a whole new different approach.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Now, out of your experiences in the field, what is something that, when you've been investigating, what's something, the craziest thing that's happened that you've witnessed or experienced during an investigation? What's made you walk out of there going, man, now that was crazy?
let's see. Well, that would have to be more like something that happened live, because otherwise, you know, if I was just reviewing evidence later, then there wouldn't be anything to react to. That would probably have to have been the cargo hold at the Queen Mary. I brought out my REM pod, which I had for a year, and basically that thing has never gone off. I pretty much started thinking I wasted a couple $100, you know, and as I'm sure you do when your equipment doesn't work the first time, you're starting to think, well, you know, this is never going to go off. This thing just doesn't go off. So I set that at the back of on this chair, and something told me already when I walked into the place that this wasn't going to be good, because all the chairs were set up in a circle, meaning like there had been a seance or something, which is never going to be good when that happens. So I was talking through the obelisk to this soldier that kept telling me he was cold. So I told him, you know, I'll try to get you a blanket. Then I realized, how the hell am I going to get a spirit a blanket? I don't even know where I'm getting a blanket, first of all. And then where am I going to put the blanket? Yeah, I don't know where he is. And I started thinking, this is a stupid conversation. I'm basically lying to a soldier. But we're having a conversation, and then the obelisk suddenly just freaked out and died on me and started making all these weird little, you know, and all these weird sounds. And then suddenly my arm, just something went past my arm, and my entire arm was ice cold and covered in goosebumps, and all the hair was standing up. I mean, this is all going like boom, 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 one thing after another. And then the REM pod goes off behind me. And I scream, and you hear it on the tape, because I was just like, I thought that thing was never going to work, and suddenly I just hear it behind me. So I had told something to go and sit behind me, and then this thing brushes past me and activates it. So there was so much going on. I've never had so many things just trigger one after the other, and I'm still taking in the fact that the obelisk is freaking out. Then this thing brushes past me. My arm, every hair on my arm stands up, then the REM pod goes off, and then you hear steps go, you hear footsteps run up the metal stairs behind us, also like off to the side. And I'm just like, good Lord, that was just way too much. And my heart was racing, and it was racing all the way back to the room. I mean, I was pretty shook up for close to an hour. And then it got worse, because I was brushing my teeth. This was right after investigation. I got back to the room and I was brushing my teeth, and all of a sudden I feel my left arm burning, and I pull up my sleeve and I had 3 scratch marks. So then I'm like, what the heck did I piss off now, you know, to follow me back home in the room, and I'm watching these marks appear, and they're getting darker, and they're burning, and they're stinging, and my whole arm is hot. And so then I was really offended and kind of sad, because I didn't really think I pissed anything off, because I don't try to be that way. And I didn't understand what could have possibly gotten so angry at me, you know, that I got scratched. So that was probably the most exciting, full-on, just like fireworks, everything going at once, kind of crazy. You know, it was just too much to take in. So much overload of senses and things going on. So kind of like Jody and her Linda Vista thing, you know, she's hooked on that. I'm like hooked on the Queen Mary. I'm over there as much as I can, and luckily I only live like 18 minutes from there, so
I've been wanting to go there for a really long time. I think I would like it.
Yeah, it's loaded with stuff all the time. It never disappoints. So that's like a fun place. But there's a lot of hotels in Hollywood I'm starting to get around to going to. I just need to find good days where it's not so expensive. But I try to get out several times a week and just go. And if people want to come along, great. You know, if not, I'm fine with going alone.
Yeah, but you go with your camera guy all the time, right?
Yeah, just for the witness, just for the extra person. But, you know, until I find people I can work with, I don't have a team or anything. I'm just a team of one.
You're smart.
There's no fighting. There's no who made that noise.
Exactly.
It's all me.
Yeah. You know, I like to go every once in a while and just rent a place out and just go by myself without anybody.
Yeah, it's a good lesson in, like, overcoming fear, you know? It's just like,
yeah.
I sit there in the pitch black by myself, and I'm just like, okay, you can either freak out or you can just handle it like a, you know, grown up. I mean, these people aren't going to hurt you much. They will hurt you maybe, but nothing you can't deal with. You know, it's not like somebody's going to pummel you to the ground or anything. But and so I just realized that all this over-sensationalized stuff on TV, you know, you don't need to jump at every little thing. I mean, there's a lot of rats and bugs. And when I lived in Hawaii, I was in this one locker room, and I pitched black, and all of a sudden I heard something. And so I turn on the light because I knew it wasn't a ghost, but it was a gigantic flying cockroach, because in Hawaii they have flying cockroaches. So as if a cockroach isn't gross enough, now they have wings, so they can land on you. So I look and I'm like, "What? It's gross, right?" So I'm like, "Where? Now I need to put the lights on, not because I'm scared, but I need to know where the hell that roach just landed." And so it was over by the door. So I mean, you can't even step on these things. It'll ruin your shoes. Like, it'll break your shoes. So I had to keep an eye on constantly where that flying roach was, because that was just so gross.
Yeah.
But most of the time, you know, it's just animals, and a lot of things get into a place that contaminate. So I don't really, I'm very hard to scare. I'm so mellow. It's kind of scary. Wonder if I have a pulse sometimes, because I'm just very not jumpy. So we will definitely, Jody, after when you come to L.A., or I'll take you to the Queen Mary or something, and we'll go and investigate you and I. Girl power.
I have a great girlfriend that lives in Los Angeles. Her name is Laura Calhoun. I don't know if you've ever heard of her. She's with, she owns Resurrection Talent.
Okay.
She used to be with Dan at Haunted Entertainment, but she branched off. But she lives in Los Angeles, and, you know, I keep telling her I need to come out and visit her so bad. She might end up, when I go to Vegas, if I don't go to L.A. and then go to Vegas, she's going to drive into Vegas to see me. So, you know, I think it would be really cool to, like, put together an event for Queen Mary.
Very cool.
Like, you know, like a weekend where you actually stay there and, you know, you buy like
and
a whole package.
Yeah. Well, let me know if we can wake in
during the day.
Well, let me know if I can do anything and we could work on that together or something.
Yeah, I think that would be really cool. I mean, you probably know the people who run it there really well, right?
Not necessarily. I mean, when I go, I usually just stay in a room. I buy a room, and then I just run around wherever I can. They've gotten really tight about letting any paranormal groups in right now. They're being very, I'm not going to badmouth them, but they're being very difficult about letting anyone go in right now, and a lot of stuff is closed down. So I don't know, you know, if you're going to have more events or anything's going to be happening. So, you know, your guess is as good as mine. But,
you know, I think that Joe Chin and maybe Barry, Ghost Hunters International, I think they're having a event there.
Okay.
Coming up in April or something like that, maybe.
Okay, I don't know where to look for that. Well, if you get that, send me, you know, on Facebook the information for that. If you get that,
yeah,
maybe I'd like to go to that then.
Yeah, you know, I think if you're willing to have the bigger ones, they're probably a little bit more willing to people. You know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that last thing at the Stanley had like 200 people. I really can't handle that again.
Yeah.
So it was like 20 of us crammed into a room with Debbie and Mark Constantino, and I ended up sitting in the hallway because I'm not going to be smushed into a room with that little oxygen. So I sat in the hallway. But, you know, that's the problem with some of these things. They unfortunately take so many people, and then the groups are so gigantic that you don't really get anything out of it.
Yeah.
That's why last year when we did our conference for the first time, I had, I believe I only had 42 people from the public investigating that night, and I had 4 different locations. So once I split up the public, it came out to be like 11 or 12 people plus the paranormal team. So the paranormal groups actually outnumbered the people, and it was so spread out. There was 2 hotels and a couple other buildings, and it had like 3 to 4 floors apiece. So once everybody scattered out, it really was real intimate, and that's what I wanted, because I've been to some of those bigger events where it's just so many freaking people. It's just basically like a ghost tour. I mean, you can't really do any investigating. You just, because it's too
much. Yeah, I mean, if you want to go and be entertained, you know, I can think of a cheaper way to be entertained than, you know, spending $250 or whatever to go in a group. I might go on a cruise with that kind of money. It's just really, this is the second time now, and I realize I don't want to go a third time. It's unfortunate.
Yeah.
They just get too big, and it loses the intimacy. I'm not really learning anything that I don't already know, and it's just really unfortunate. But they should work on making smaller ones that run the whole week instead of, you know, 2 days of just so many people. So, but live and learn. I mean, all these things are good experiences to help us through life and know what to do and what not to do again.
Yeah, and if I get, I'm working on getting ownership of a abandoned hospital, which Jody, I'm supposed to get more information about that this week, by the way.
Nice.
Yeah, if I get a hold of this hospital, then you can, I'll let you come and investigate it. You can have the whole building to yourself.
Aw, I want to come.
I already told Jody she can come there and film anytime she wants.
Aw,
yeah.
You're such a nice guy.
do you travel around and with your camera guy and go to places?
Usually other than the Stanley, which was my own little flight thing, I try to drive. They become road trips. You know, I went up to Yosemite. That was, I think, 4 hours away, maybe
mm-hmm.
3. Yeah, 4. There's some things. I think I'm going to go down to San Diego and do some things down there. I know that there's the Whaley House, so I might go do that. There's a lot of stuff in Hollywood, so that's like 20 minutes from my house. So, and lots of stuff. So I just try to look up different things. The closer, the better. You know, I only maybe do one trip a year. I really can't travel as much as I would like to. So I try to find things, but, you know, road trips are okay because those aren't so bad. That's just gas and hotel.
Yeah.
So I guess the answer would be no. I mean, yes and no. Fly on a plane, yeah. No. On the road, yes.
Yeah. Well, we are coming to the end of our hour.
No!
Yeah. Thank you so much for, hanging
thank
tight
you.
With us for your headache. You know?
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Is there something you would like to plug where people can find you and follow you or your anything about your art or anything like that?
Okay, well, I'm at if they want to Twitter me or whatever you call it, I'm at Valentina, just like my name, at Danish, just like the pastry. And which actually is maybe it's easier if they go to valentinaghostgirl.com and you can get my Facebook and Twitter stuff there if you want to follow and keep up with me. Valentinaghostgirl.com. And
nice.
That's it. And if anybody wants me to come on the investigations or wants to investigate with me, I'm always up for that too.
Nice.
Or if anybody wants to see Jody and I in action running around.
You know what? I think people would like that a lot.
They would love us. We need to be a show. We want to be a show.
Yeah.
Call up the networks, the Jody and Valentina show.
Tearing up investigating.
Girl investigator models tearing it up.
Yeah.
I think everyone will want to see that.
Well, you know, I've had a girl group for a reason. I believe more power to women, and I think that TV needs a girl group. I think that the networks are holding us back and holding us down.
Right. It is.
There's a double standard here. And
exactly. We need to change that.
Sign.
Break the stereotype.
Left and right. I fight left and right for it. You should see me. Some days I get on my Facebook and I'm like screaming. I am like, what the hell? When are women?
Oh my God. This is why you're not signed, because your attitude is mean. You're just mean.
I'm not mean.
I'm kidding.
I'm speaking out.
You're a mean girl.
I'm all about women and power. You know what I mean?
Maybe you need to call Oprah. We need to be on Oprah.
Then I'd have to start crying, you know?
Right.
I could actually call up Howard Stern.
You've already been on that show, it looks like.
Yes, I have. I tore that place up.
Oh, my God. Crazy girl. I can't wait to meet you.
I'm also in the Guinness World Record for the female loudest burp in the world.
I went through your Facebook pictures and I saw a little comment about burping and I thought, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I'm not hanging out with you.
Yeah. Oh, you don't like burping?
Not at the table. People have to do that. Quietly and say, excuse me.
I'm eating a meal.
Just as long as you don't sit and fart. Just don't fart at the table.
I know. No, that's Kevin's job.
Okay.
Oh.
You guys you're yucky.
Oh,
all right. Well, I will definitely keep in touch with you. I'll let you coming to Vegas or L.A. next, and we will definitely have to hook up. And, I'm gonna hook you up with my girl Laura. She's a real firecracker.
Okay.
A wild one, but she's real into she's got her own agency for the paranormal field. So.
Oh, very cool. Yeah, then please.
Yeah.
Cool. I need some good people. Okay. Well,
yeah.
You guys have a great rest of the week and into the weekend.
And
have
I'll
great
talk
to talk
to
everybody. Yes,
yeah,
next Sunday.
I'll talk to you Sunday on our show.
Perfect.
Yeah.
All right, you guys. Thanks so much. Bye.
Bye. Good
night.
Bye.
Well,
right.
I think you did good, Kevin.
Oh, yeah?
Uh-oh. Lost Jody.
Jody, I lost you. Don't know how that happened. I am on the air by myself for a second until Jody gets back. Oh, man, the things that happen. I want to say thanks to Valentina for coming on the show, and she's also part of Haunted Entertainment. You can check it out on their website, hauntedentertainment.com. And I'm currently waiting on Jody to call back in. She got cut off somehow or another. So right now I'm chatting alone. We're going to take a station identification little break here while I wait on Jody. So hang on tight.
Hi.
You back?
Yeah.
Hang on a second.
Okay.
Hang on. I think something's going to play here.
You're listening to the Unknown Radio Network at www.blogtalkradio.com/unknownpg. You are in.
Yeah, I didn't know if you were calling when you were calling back in, so I did a little station identification to break it up. I don't know
okay.
how you got cut off.
Did something about Charter communication come through?
Do what?
Did you hear anything about Charter Communication Network?
Uh-uh.
Okay. She hung up, and then all of a sudden, like, this commercial started playing about Charter Communication and how I need to try it out and all the da-da-da-da-da, and then my phone went dead.
That was weird.
And I thought like, you pressed a button.
No. Uh-uh.
Dude.
Weird shit.
Weird. Charter Communication is the cable network here in St. Louis, okay?
Wow.
Why would anything be playing on my phone about it?
I have no idea. It's weird.
Dude, that was
weird. You were saying I did good, and then that was all I got.
Yeah. I was like, you did good, and then it started playing, and I sat there and listened, and I was like, what is he playing? How does he, like, do they have Charter down there?
No.
By you? And I thought you were playing a freaking commercial.
No.
Yeah, that was bizarre, okay? I don't have a problem with technology or anything. No, not me.
Well, I
that
told you
weird.
That.
No.
I told you that you would like our guest.
Yeah, she was amazing. I like her a lot. She's a lot more conservative about, you know, than I am. But I see all the great qualities and what a good woman she is. And I do have a lot of things in common with her.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah,
thank you for... making that friendship for me. You've done
That's
good.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
What are you telling these girls? Are you just, like, scoping babes out online?
No. I actually went to hauntedentertainment.com, and a lot of our guests are, for the next several weeks, are either coming from Haunted Entertainment or Demented Entertainment's.
Okay.
So that's where I found her, and I'm glad, and I'm also picking people that I've never talked to, so.
I really enjoyed her.
That's how you make
sweetheart.
Friends in the field, you know, and I knew as soon as I talked to her on the phone that you would really like her, and, you know, you'd get a friendship out of it, so. That's what it's all about.
Well, I'm definitely going to let her know when I'm either in L.A. or Vegas next time so that she can bring her camera guy and can play with me because, you know?
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, what exactly, did she say what nationality she was?
She was born in, she's Denmark. And she was raised in Switzerland and Alaska.
Okay.
Yeah.
She's a beautiful person, inside and out.
Yep. So that's a good thing.
Oh, yeah.
Another woman in the field that investigates. So hopefully you two can hook up and do some investigating together. So
I think it will happen.
Yeah. And we will have her on my show, Unknown Paranormal Radio, next Sunday. So I will chat with her again.
Nice. And you'll have a little bit more insight on her than you probably did before.
Yeah, I have insight on her, but it's also cool because I have two co-hosts that haven't talked to her, so they'll ask her stuff that they want to know. So, next week on our show, and I'm going to tell you, you're going to when you talk to this gentleman, he's really cool. I talked to him. I've interviewed him on my show last year. He does a lot of stuff he's kind of in the same realm of like David Roundtree and some of those others, looks at more scientific ways of explaining paranormal phenomenon. And when you talk to this gentleman, it's going to spur a lot more ideas in your mind. Right. And it'll open your mind
scary,
up.
Scary, Kevin.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's good. It's a good scary because it'll give you a different spin on things. And Thomas.
It's David who?
It's Thomas Fusco, who's going to be on our show next week. And I'll email. Yeah, Thomas. I got a packet. He sends out a media kit, which is always cool. It's got all of his background and everything, and it's actually got different questions that we can ask him that he'll touch base on. So it's kind of cool.
I'm looking at his profile right now. He's been on Coast to Coast with George Norrie.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah, nice. I'll send you that media packet, and that way you can look over it before next week, and. Yeah, tune in tomorrow for Into the Darkness Radio with Miss Jody's counterpart, Miss Brittany Johnson, and her co-host, Matt from Full Spectrum Radio.
Wait, they moved to Wednesday?
No. Oh, tomorrow is Wednesday. God almighty, I'm thinking of on Sunday. Wow. Thank you for correcting me. Man, it's been a long week. I'm still sleep deprived. Okay, tomorrow's Wednesday. Wednesday
You're
is.
Out over here.
Well,
I totally forgot it was Tuesday, and an hour before the show, I was like, "Wait a minute, what is today?" And I got Tuesday, and I was like, "Oh my God!" You know,
Normally when I'm on the air, I'm on Sundays, I always talk about Monday, which is Into the Darkness. So, yeah, I'm kind of confused, too. Tomorrow's Wednesday, so tune in for Full Spectrum Radio with Matt and Dennis from CPR out of Chicago. They always have a great show. And then, of course, Thursdays is Ghost Hunting Texas Style with Justin Eric and Kevin Bryan. And that's pretty much it, you know, so... Great radio. I'm in the works again of possibly adding another show with a good friend of yours and mine.
Who?
I'll just say part of her name and you'll know who it is, Lee.
Oh, nice. Very nice.
So,
good
so
to hear that.
I'm working on that. And... she's also helping me book some pretty big names that you've probably come across in the field from Ghost Hunters and Ghost Hunters International. So hopefully that'll all work out, and we'll have them on our show.
Nice. Well, when we leave off here, I'd like to play a song, if that's okay.
Go for it, girl.
All right. Yeah. Well, then I guess we will say good night and see you next week.
Okay? All right. Good night, everybody.
Okay. Good night.
I know a girl, she's as sick as a vampire. She wanna stay up and do it all night. I know a girl, she's a little more friendly after midnight in the starlight. I know a girl, she can pull up the closet in the daylight, she's in disguises. I know a girl, she's addicted to vampires. She wanna give it up. She's got a way to take you over. She'll find a way to make it alright. She's got a way to do you really. She wanna give it up. She's got a way to take you over. She'll find a way to make it alright. She's got a way to do you really. She wanna give it up. She's a vampire, she's got her game on in the twilight. I know a girl, she's a little bit older, and when the sun's down, she'll take you over. I know a girl, she's a little more friendly after midnight in the twilight. I know a girl, and she's full of surprises. She wanna give it up. She's got a way to take you over. She'll find a way to make it alright. She's got a way to do it.